Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, 60% of retirees said they wish they could have a retirement planning do-over. So we're asking them, what was the biggest financial regret, you know, that was plaguing you before you retired? And what can we learn from those mistakes to help you better prepare for the future? So stick around. At today's show, we're going to give you some answers.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. I'm Steve Siddall. Kevin, 30 years we've been helping folks get through to and through retirement. Silverleaf Financial is where you find him. Silverleaffinancial.com is the website. I encourage you to visit that website. And right now, another beautiful day in the desert.
Oh, it is. It is, for sure. You know, it's always nice out here. You look up in the sky and there's not a cloud to be found, you know, so how couldn't you enjoy that?
Exactly. Well, I completely agree.
Oh, we love it here. You know, I remember in the Midwest, we're from Northern Illinois, and I tell you what, I don't feel like I even see the sun from, middle of October until April or something. So.
Oh, I know. It gets long and dark.
It is a long time, you know, and I give them credit. They came up with, somebody came up with seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The abbreviation being SAD, of course. So yes. I thought that was pretty clever.
That's good.
But I do think it affects a lot of people, so I guess that's why they're moving to Arizona.
I guess that's why they're moving. Yes, exactly right. Well, let's talk about this. Retirement regrets. The stat here that by the year 2030, 1 in 5 Americans will be 65 or older. That's a lot.
It is a lot. And you know what? I am bringing up the back end of that group that will, you know, that's when I turn 65. So.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I am the last year of the baby boomers. So I was born in 64. You guys might know the baby boom generation, most people say, is started in 1946. Mm-hmm. So 46 to 64, those are the baby boomers. And apparently we're doing a lot of traveling, I guess, these days. And that is the good thing that I heard. The travel industry is loving it, especially Vikings, because apparently baby boomers are hopping on a lot of Vikings cruises.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's a little tidbit in today's news.
All right. I like it. So we talk about more than half or 60% of retirees say they'd go back and plan their retirement differently. Let's help folks avoid that, Kevin.
Yes. You know what? That is something that we want to talk about because it is a very common regret. And now let me tell you guys, one of the things that they regretted, a majority of people regretted in the study, is that they didn't start investing soon enough. Right.
Sure.
And so the moral of the story to me, you know, it's like you can't turn back the clock. Right. As much as we might wish we can sometimes. We can't turn back the clock and change. You know, if you're 50 years old, you can't. What good is that going to do you? What I'm going to say is that if you haven't started, start now. And whatever you're doing, to me, the message is try to save more. So try to up your allocation to the 401k or your SEP or your pension or however you're saving money. Maybe increase the payment on your mortgage payment to pay it off sooner. You know, so there's a lot of things you can do that will increase your financial health that you can do just a little bit more with each paycheck or each month. And that should put you in much better situation down the road because the biggest thing these folks regretted was not starting early enough. That tells me they don't have enough saved. And so Which is common amongst a lot of people, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, you get married, you might have college debt to pay off, or unless you're one of the lucky ones getting it forgiven. But you've got a lot of obligations, right? Paying off your debt, getting a new job, and then you're going to buy a car, and you're going to rent a place to live, or you're going to buy your first home, and then you're going to start a family. So it's tough to save money as you're going through all these phases. So what we want to do is try to get in that habit as early as possible, to just get in the habit of doing it. And I think that is a big, big behavioral change that benefits a lot of people.
Oh, that's it. That's the first step. It sounds so easy, but it isn't. I mean, it's a difficult process, as you well know.
It is. And life happens, right? And
so, absolutely, it does.
You know, I've met a lot of people. I've been doing this a long time. And there's a lot of people that say, you know what, Kevin, I started off great. I was putting money in there every month. It was growing real nicely. And then, bam, this happened. And I had to take out a loan from my 401k, or I had to stop investing, or mm-hmm. it gives you a detour, right? And it's really important that we try to get back on track with these things as soon as we can. But some of the situations I've ran into are really avoidable. You know, in other words, voluntary decisions that set people back financially. To give an example, a lot of folks that I've met, when they get a raise at their job, they immediately want to up their lifestyle. And, you know, buy new clothes, buy a new car, maybe buy a new house, buy a second house, buy a boat, you know, buy a sports car, or whatever it might be.
That sounds like a nightmare to me, all of that.
You know, and it's toys, right? Especially yep. A lot of guys like toys.
Exactly.
And, you know, what is that? That bumper sticker, the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys.
Yes, I know. Yep.
And that's one that a lot of guys at drag strips have on the back of their car. And so,
yes, exactly.
So you might be able to tell, yeah, I grew up going to drag strips, what that's worth. You know, so, but I think it's important we measure everything, right? Because not only, you know, measure it in terms of how much extra money you've got coming in terms of how much more you have to spend just to live, right? So what I'm saying is, if you get a 5% raise, but we got 5% inflation, you're really not much ahead of the game. Now, the good news is you're staying in the game, right? You don't have less, comparatively speaking. But I think it's important whenever you get some extra money, whatever it is, whether it's a bonus, whether it's a raise, any situation that brings you extra cash, in my opinion, the best thing to do is use part of it. If you have debt, most people do have some form of debt. My thing has always been try to pay down some of that debt and try to save some of that money. Don't, you know, maybe blow 20% of it, or have a good time with 20% of it or something.
Sure.
But take the majority of it and put it into good use. Paying off debt, saving for your future retirement. Maybe it's putting money into a college plan for a grandson or a granddaughter. Any number of things you can do, but you can use that money productively, right?
Yes.
Down the road, you're going to be so happy you did.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's an issue. It's giving, a lot of times it's giving up what, immediate gratification? You know, the, what is that, hedonic or hedonistic tendencies? You know,
yep.
you want a, you know, pleasure, right? And everybody wants to do things that feel good and that they enjoy, but sometimes you just have to put it off a little bit so you can save a little more. So when you're in retirement, you can have a real good retirement.
Then you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. And then you don't have to worry about it. You've come and you've conquered, and you can just enjoy your retirement.
Well, so let's talk about that. And I mean, so one of the other regrets is that, that they didn't obviously create enough income stream or enough income. 63% said they prefer to receive an automatic paycheck from the assets amassed. Well, really? Isn't that what, Kevin, that's what you do.
You know what it is? It is, and it's so funny, Steve, because there's a lot of things, and anybody that studied psychology or the method behind how they fill out a question to ask you for a survey, and what I'm getting at is that the way you ask a question can very often determine how it's gonna be answered. For instance, if I changed that and I said, how many of you guys would like to put money into an annuity? I'll bet the percentage would be pretty low.
I would think so.
Right? Because there's such a nasty, incorrect perception about annuities. Some of it's true, but most of it is BS. All right, guys, there are some excellent products out there. They've really come a long way in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, right? But if you say, hey, would you like to have extra guaranteed income that you know is gonna last you throughout your entire life? Even if you live to 110, would you like to have that paycheck coming in guaranteed every month?
Yes, sir.
I'll bet you most yep. people are going to say, yeah, I would like that.
Of course, right? Yes.
And it's a perception issue. That's what it is. It's a perception issue. And so, guys, you owe it to yourself to investigate and research these different investments, not just annuities. I think you should look at all sorts of investments, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds. There's all different types of annuities. Okay. Some people invest in these just for safety. because they protect your principal in some of the contracts, right? Not mm-hmm. all of them. But if you don't know the difference between one and the other, that's why you need to talk to an advisor, somebody that knows what they're doing, that's been around the block. Hopefully they're independent and they're a fiduciary and that they can recommend you invest in stocks as well as in annuities or any other types of products because they're appropriately licensed to give you that type of advice. But you got to remember, a lot of people don't have all those licenses, and so they point you down the road in which they can make money.
Of course. And folks, if you want to reach out to Kevin, have the conversation, it's 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. So we're talking about annuities. Let's dig in a little deeper. Last year, Americans bought $360 billion of annuities. In 2022, $311. I mean, it's a, you know, when you talk about the record annuities belonged in 2008.
Right. And you know what? I love seeing these stories because it gives me hope. It gives me hope. Right. That people are starting to understand and they're starting to see and realize the benefits that these offer. All right. And guys, the annuities are really, there's really three different categories of annuities. You have plain fixed annuities, which are really like a bank CD. It's just a guaranteed interest rate for a set period of time. And right now, FYI, I can still get a 6% guarantee for 3 years. I can get 5.85 for 5 years, and I can actually get a 6% guarantee for 7 years. So if you just want guaranteed fixed interest that's safe with no fees, then you want to look at a fixed annuity and compare that to other risk-free interest-bearing investments, all right? It's not appropriate to compare a rate on a fixed annuity to the stock market. And that's what I'll have people say is, well, Kevin, I can earn 20% in the stock market. I say, maybe you can. Maybe you can lose 20% in the stock market. Or maybe you could lose all your money in the stock market. All right? You got to compare apples to apples, and that includes the amount of risk you're taking. And so you can get a 6% risk-free return with a fixed plain vanilla annuity. All right? So if you're not, in my opinion, if you're not doing much better than that in the stock market, then why are you taking the risk of doing it?
Yeah, right? Because, yeah, that's right. Why take the risk?
I have a lot of people say, oh, I like bonds. I say, well, what are you making on your bonds? 4.5%, 5%? Which is the answer. That is where bonds are at right now. The 10-year treasury is just over 4.5. 2-year treasuries are just below 5%. If you go short term, like 6-month treasuries, you can get maybe 5.25. All right. But then in 6 months, you're taking the risk that you might have a lower interest rate. All right. So the reason people invest for a longer term is because they think interest rates might be going lower. And that's why they want to lock in a row rate for 7 years instead of locking in something for 6 months, because they think rates could be lower. All right, so that's what we call duration risk or interest rate risk. It's the risk of having to reinvest at a lower interest rate when your money comes due. And so you want to make sure you're aware of that as you're looking at these things. But the next category, guys, that Steve, I'm very excited about a brand new product that's in the index annuity space.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, it is actually a combination, first ever. This is revolutionary. First ever multi-year guaranteed interest rate along with an index annuity for upside, all in one package.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, that's really cool.
I tell you what, it's very cool, because with index annuities, you can't lose money because of the market going down, right? So if the market goes down, you have 100,000 in there, you don't lose a penny, you still have 100,000, even if the market got cut in half. But if the market goes up, I can get up to 11%, 11.5% now, just on a 5-year investment. Every year, you can make up to 11.5%, no fees, no charges, and then every year it gets locked in. So if the second year the market drops, you put 100 grand in it, you have your 111.5 on the second year, and it dropped, and you still have your 111.5. Now the next year it goes up, and you can make money again as the market goes up. So that's something that has no risk of loss, double-digit gains possible every single year, tied to the market indexes, with no fees or charges. That's the example of a good index annuity, but the revolutionary one is offering you a minimum of 4%. So this thing is guaranteeing a minimum 4% every year that you know you're going to get. It's compounded every year, compounded, right? Compound interest rate, 4%. That's what you're paid as a base on the contract. And so then at the end, though, if you do it for 7 years, you get 90% of the S&P 500 growth. So at the end of that period, if the S&P is higher, you get that amount. But if it's lower, you get your 4% guaranteed rate. All right, guys, that is the best risk reward that I have seen in the market probably ever. All right, and I'm not joking. I'm not aware of anybody else anywhere, anyway, really, that you can get a 90% of the S&P 500 growth with zero risk and a 4% minimum guarantee. That's what this annuity contract will offer. It's a contractual guarantee, a legal understanding, a legal contract that you sign, that we set up between you and the insurance company. And you might know virtually all annuities are issued by insurance companies, right? And the good news is there's also backup insurance. For instance, in the state of Arizona, there's up to $250,000 of coverage if the insurance company becomes insolvent. That's not the reason why you want to do it, but you just want to be aware of it because a lot of people ask me, you know, hey, is there FDIC insurance? No, it's not FDIC insurance because that's federal, and insurance companies are regulated on a state-by-state basis. So each state has a state guarantee fund that they set up for that purpose, all right? Mm-hmm. So it's something worth taking a look at. If you're an investor that wants to protect some of your investments, right? You don't want all of it at risk. Maybe take a look at something like this. The catch, all right? The catch, if you will, is you can't touch the money. That's the catch, all right? Now, if you go for 5 years, you can get 75% of the market gains. And 3 years, it's actually 60% of the gains. So there are
That's
different.
That's not bad either.
No, it's not bad at all. In fact, I can show you guys index annuities that only give you 50% of the market gain, right? But they lock it in every year. They're called annual reset. I can show you periods of time in history where a 50% gain would beat the S&P 500 index overall. And it's because these don't lose value when the market drops. So depending on the period of time, if you include 2000, 2001, and 2, when the market got cut in half, and then you include 2007 and 8, right? So let's say you go from 1999 to 2009, the index annuity is going to outperform because we had such horrible downdrafts during those periods of time. So if you want to avoid the losses, you really should do yourself a favor and take a look at these. If you decide you're interested, then you've got to find somebody that has real expertise because there's a lot of variations, there's a lot of companies offering them, and they're always coming up with new bells and whistles, right? Some of which are worth it, some of which aren't, all right? So you want to make sure you got somebody that's very versed in these. Regardless of which investment you go to, I think you should do that with all investments. You want to be very careful if you're dealing with a rookie, all right? Somebody fresh out of college, just be careful, okay? Because a lot of times you need somebody that's been around the block a couple times to really help prepare you for the future.
Oh, well, I think that's wise, yes. You mentioned a couple of things, and I want to, it's probably going to sidetrack us, but you mentioned treasuries, and I was noticing this week, too, there are a lot of stories about that and the inverted yield curve. Is that something that yes. we need to be concerned about?
You know, I don't think so personally.
Okay,
actually,
good.
Actually, it's been inverted for probably a year and a half, if not 2 years. So it's been inverted for quite a while. And what that all it means, guys, is that short-term interest rates are higher than longer-term rates. And usually what that means is that there's a recession coming in the future. Usually it indicates a recession actually about a year and a half to 2 years after it inverts. So if you're a believer in that rule of thumb, then you should be expecting a recession sometime later this year. All right. But it doesn't mean the stock market can't do well. In fact, a lot of studies that came out recently show that the stock market has performed the best under periods of time when the Federal Reserve is doing nothing. So in other words, they're not raising, they're not lowering. They got their, you know, they're sitting on their hands. Historically, the market has done pretty well in those situations. So we don't need the government to cut rates in order for the stock market to do well. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say, I think it's better if they don't. I think it's better because what you really want, you want an economy that's growing. You want unemployment that's low, so that means people have jobs. If they want a job, they've got a job, right? You want the economy expanding, which is what's going on. The reason why the government hasn't cut interest rates is because the economy is doing very well. Unemployment is at the lowest level it's been in over 40 years. In fact, the unemployment rate, you got to go back to World War II to find a longer period of time where unemployment was below 4%, okay? So as long as people, in my view, as long as the unemployment rate is below 4%, I just don't see how we can have a recession.
Sure. Well, again, I'll tell you what, you know who echoes that? And I know we hadn't really talked about this, but the Fed chair in Minneapolis was out this week, and his name is Kashkari. That's his last name. But listen to this, Kevin, and see if you don't think he's pretty optimistic.
Many more months of positive inflation data, I think, to give me confidence that it's appropriate to dial back. You know, the U.S. economy has remained remarkably resilient. GDP growth has been strong, much stronger than forecast. Most people thought that we'd be in a recession toward the end of last year. That didn't happen. Instead, we had very strong growth. U.S. consumers have remained remarkably resilient. The housing market has remained resilient. So I'm not seeing the need to hurry and do rate cuts. I think we should take our time and get it right.
What do you think?
Yes. I agree with him 100%. And I think his first name is Neil. I believe that's Neil.
Neil, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I didn't have that in front of me.
No, not a problem. I've just been doing it a long time. I know most of these people's names now.
Right,
But he's one of the Federal Reserve guys, right?
Right.
And so he has access to tons and tons of data, okay, and research and information that a lot of us don't have. Now, you got to remember, guys, I think it's something, let me mention on a side note to everybody. I just think it's funny. I laugh a little bit when all these people come on the news channel and you got this one person up there at some analysis firm somewhere saying, oh, the Fed's got it all wrong. They're completely screwing it up. And I sit back and I remind myself, yeah, what is there, like 100 PhDs working at the Federal Reserve? Out of these are the most educated people in the world, guys.
Yeah.
These are a bunch of PhDs from Harvard and Yale and Columbia. And I don't know your opinion on Ivy League schools, but most people consider them very well educated, very good schools, regardless of any other cultural stuff going on. But I think you're talking about hundreds of PhDs, people that have studied economics and studied finance for a long, long time. And when you have a consensus among these dozens and dozens and dozens of people, that gives me confidence in the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. All right. Much more than one knucklehead on television telling you that he knows more than they do.
And exactly.
So I have confidence in that. Like I mentioned, as long as people have a job, remember the economy is driven by consumer spending. Okay. So really, if you want to blame somebody for the economy being too strong, we all need to look in the mirror. Okay. Because we're the ones driving the economy. It's consumer spending is 70% of our economy. All right. So as long as people are spending, they're out there buying plane tickets, they're taking cruises, they're going to see Taylor Swift at her Eras tour, right?
Yep.
And going to the drag races and Formula One races and all these sports games and buying the latest fashion trends and buying new cars. As long as we're spending money, guys, that economy's going to keep on growing. But that's what you want. We want a good, strong economy. We want people to have a job. We want low unemployment. And rates, for what it's worth, rates are actually at the same level roughly as they've been historically for the last 75 years. The average long-term rate for the 10-year Treasury is between 4.5% and 5%, okay? Go back to the 90s and look at where 10-year Treasuries were. They were higher than they are now, okay? And if you guys remember, or those of you that weren't around, the 1990s were a fantastic decade for stocks, all right? So don't get lulled into the train of thought thinking that the only way stocks can perform is if rates go lower, because that's simply not the case.
Wow. I mean, again, those are the kinds of things that, you know, I like what he said. The way he ended that was, we just want to get it right. And
yes.
I got to respect that.
I do. And I think everybody should respect that because I believe these guys are all, I believe they're legitimate. I believe they're sincere. They're authentic. I don't believe there's any political agenda either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not political. And the Fed, I think what a lot of people forget is the Federal Reserve is not part of the government.
That's right. That's right. And I think it's important. And I got to give them credit because these guys are, you know, Jay Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Man.
He's under a massive amount of pressure. Okay.
Yeah.
From politicians. You guys know it. And thinking about the tweets of the past and the news stories and the news cycles. And it's like something. I think a lot of people just like to have somebody to blame. I think that's why a lot of people, they just want to blame the president, whoever that might be at any point in time. You know, but we need to remember, what do we have? 300 million people in this country, 330 million or something.
Something like that.
Right. And we've got Congress that is, 430 something in the House, I think, 100 senators, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that? 535 people plus one president. All right. So there's a lot of people that are influencing the direction of the economy. But I think the Federal Reserve is doing a great job. I acknowledge, yes, they were slow in recognizing that inflation was not transitory,
yes,
which was their buzzword at the time. But I think they did a great job. You know, the funny thing, Steve, is that I heard a report today saying the Fed did not get restrictive enough with interest rates. That's what I heard somebody saying today. Okay. And so everybody for the last couple of years and the economists and the analysts and all these folks are saying, oh, my God, I can't believe how much the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates. They've raised interest rates, you know, the most in history, in the shortest period of time in history. And now they're coming out saying they didn't do it fast enough. All right. So So I think to me, what I'm saying is no matter what they do, there's always going to be some haters. There's always going to be people saying they screwed it up. It doesn't matter if we're in utopia on our way to nirvana. It doesn't matter. Some people are just going to be negative, right? They're the glasses half empty people.
Yeah.
And so I think we just need to be cognizant of that. Look at the numbers, okay? Just look at the unemployment number. As long as that's below 4%, I think we're in good shape.
Do we have to get used to a different inflation rate? I mean, do we have to? I mean, could it be that 3% could be the new normal?
You know what? I hope it's not totally the. I hope it's a little.
Well, no,
than
I don't either. But I'm just saying. Yeah. You know, it's.
I think everybody should be prepared for more inflation than we've seen in the prior to the last couple of years, because I think we had a period of time of like 15 years or something where we really had very little inflation.
Right.
I think if you go back to the housing crisis or a Great Recession or whatever you want to call it around 08. It seems to me from 08 to about, 2021, we didn't have very much inflation, maybe a little sooner than that. But ballpark, we had at least a 10-12 year period without very much inflation, pardon me. And so I think what happened is that they kind of lulled everybody into a false sense of, low inflation forever. But if you look back historically over long periods of time, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, then I think inflation, is typically in the 2.3, 2.4 range over long periods of time. So at 3%, it'd be a little bit higher, but I don't think that's a bad thing as long as wages keep up with the inflation rate. And a lot of people, wage growth has been good. In fact, who was it? Mark Cuban got in an online dispute with somebody else about the economy under Biden versus Trump. And Cuban pointed out that wage growth, I think he said, has been the strongest it's been very strong for like 20, 21, 22 months in a row, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pointing out how wage growth has been very strong and has enabled people to keep up with inflation. So there's a lot of different ways to dissect it. I think overall the consumer is doing well. It is a consumer-driven economy, and the people on the lower end are having more trouble. They always do when there's a little bit of inflation, but they're not the majority of spending in the economy. And so I think as long as that majority of spending continues, then I expect things to be just fine.
Sure. All right. Well, I like that. That always sounds good. And so as we start going here, let's talk about the market this week. I mean, talk about some swings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? And it's we've got earnings coming out. We had these huge earnings come out from NVIDIA, a week ago or something, or last several days. And that was a case where the market had very, very high expectations, and they actually beat those expectations. The stock is up like 20% since they reported their numbers. So whenever you get into earnings season, there tends to be a lot more volatility, based on how a company, what types of earnings they report versus what everybody was expecting. But also... All the talk about interest rates, and of course we've got other things happening with the former president being on trial, so that could definitely be a market mover in the short term. I don't think it's going to have any impact medium term or long term, just on a day to day thing. But I think what investors should be doing is getting to a point where you don't let the volatility bother you if you're an investor in the stock market, because truly, guys, I've been doing it a long time. I can't tell you how many times I got stopped out of a stock when I try to manage my risk. I set a price. I say, hey, if it goes below this price, just sell it because I don't want to take a big loss. And that can be a very beneficial strategy. The negative part to it is it can go down, knock you out, and then come right back up in your face. And that actually happened to me again recently with a company called GigaCloud, GCT. Now, I am not recommending this stock. If you do look at it, be very, very careful. This thing is volatile. It's at least twice as volatile as the S&P, if not more so. And there are some people that think it's being manipulated. So be very careful with that stock. It trades like a freaking tsunami every other day. So be careful. You want to be careful out there, right? And if you look at a chart, you'll see what I'm talking about. This thing can go from 25 to 32 in one day and 32 to 25 the next day. So it is swinging around. And so what I'm saying is you want to try to manage your risk in the stock market, but don't kid yourself into thinking that you can use limit orders or stop orders to completely protect yourself, because you can't. They do provide a little bit, right? But I'll tell you what, I had this stock GigaCloud. I bought it about 34, and then I put in a stop between 31 and 32, okay? And what happened is it gapped down, it closed at 32, and then the next morning, it opened at 25.
Oh, and I got
stopped out at 25, all right? And even though my stop order was between 31 and 32.
Right.
All right? So don't think that a limit order or a stop order, you know, like in this case, I want to say it was $31.95. I don't remember the exact price. But don't think that like I said, I got executed $7, more than 20% below my stop price, okay? 20%, all right? So it's not an exact science. So what I'm saying is there's other risk out there in the market that you might not realize you're taking. For instance, there's news came out today, Steve, about the commercial real estate market.
Okay.
And this happened to be, I think it was BlackRock, was behind it. Some of the big buildings. This is in New York and Manhattan, prime real estate. These bankers, just like if you go back to the housing Great Recession, a lot of people blame the bankers because they put together these products that got very complex, and investors thought they were getting something safe, and it turned out to be not safe at all. Well, it looks like they might have been up to the same games again in the last several years, because they put together these tranches of bonds that have your AAA bonds, you know, on the top, and your AAA bonds are supposed to be what they call widow and orphan bonds, right?
Okay.
They're supposed to be safe, sleep at night, don't worry about it. These bonds lost 26% of their money, okay? And so AAA bonds lost 26%, okay? So there's a lot of people, these are usually pension plans, endowments, you know, very, very wealthy people or very, very large investments. That's what they look for, AAA bonds, thinking they're safe. You can't lose any money with them. My point is the rating agencies get it wrong sometimes too. So don't think just because you have AAA highly rated paper that it means you can't lose money, because just look in today's news, you definitely can. So my point is you want to segregate your investments and invest some of your money, right? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% into things that are guaranteed safe, that you have a contract that says legally you can't lose any money with this thing, all right? And that's where index annuities come into play. I really think you guys should take a look at them. I've got a lot of clients that are very happy with these. And now, because interest rates have gone up, you can make double-digit returns with a risk-free investment. So that, to me, is something worth taking a look at.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.